Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, all. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 6, 2011, episode 156, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Well, good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn.
We have a lot to talk about today. We got a lot going on, and this is going to be a busy week for all of us here at the Horse Radio Network. But before we get in, I know you're a bachelorette right now. Your hubby's out of town fishing. He has deserted you, left you alone to wallow in your own misery. Actually, I think you had a party Saturday night, and I want to hear about it because it was a girls' night out, and they're always fun. Were there pillow fights? Can I ask that first?
Yeah, pillow fights in our pajamas while we ate bonbons, Glenn. How's that?
Perfect. Couldn't get any better. Hey,
I read
this story over the weekend. It has nothing to do with horses, but I have to tell you about it because it is a story of sweet revenge and a judge that you want to be friends with. So this couple sells their house from up north, moves to Florida. They're retired, like a lot of other couples do. Snowbirds move to Florida, and they buy a house down there. They pay cash for it. Okay, follow me so far?
Yep, got it.
So about 2 months after they live in the house, they start to get letters from the Bank of America saying, we're going to repossess unless you pay your mortgage. Well, they don't have a mortgage, so they kind of ignore the letters. Well, they start getting more letters and more threatening as the months go on. They're trying to call Bank of America and tell them, we don't have a mortgage with you. We paid cash for our house. So finally, Bank of America files a lien and basically is going to take away their house, goes to court. And they go to court to repossess their house.
So they
end up in court, and they could very easily prove to the judge that they had paid cash for this house. That was pretty easy to do. And the judge said, yeah, this is pretty clear cut. You made a mistake, Bank of America. It ain't their house. Whoever it is, you screwed up. And you need to pay them back for their legal fees because by this time they had run up thousands of dollars in legal fees. So that's what the judge orders. 5 months later, the Bank of America still had not paid their legal fees. Well, their attorney was getting a little upset. So he went to court and filed a judgment against Bank of America to put a lien on the bank branch. And the judge granted it, ordered the sheriff's department, along with moving vans and this lawyer for this couple and the couple, to go to the bank on Monday morning, lock the bank, and take everything out of it, including the cash in the drawers. So what happens the following Monday morning? They show up, knock, 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 we're here. Sheriff's department goes in, padlocks the bank, closes it. They start taking the desks out. They take the money out of the drawers. They just start emptying the bank. Within an hour, the branch manager had a check for them to cover the settlement. Isn't that sweet?
That's pretty impressive. I can't believe that. Yeah, take the money out of the drawers. Go ahead. Just rob the bank, but do it legally. I mean, that's awesome.
I love that judge. I love him. That's great.
Amazing.
One of the best stories I've read in weeks.
Amazing how quickly they came up with a check when the guys couldn't get it to work.
I just think it's a classic. Hey, Jennifer, what are we talking about on the show today?
Oh, let's see. Today's show, we start out with an unlikely couple from out west who got together and discovered they both have a real affinity for rescuing unwanted critters. Deerhaven Ranch is going to be here, and boy, you want to stay tuned for this. It's going to be a hoot. They have some really eclectic personalities in human and horse, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And then, after an appropriate quantity of banter, it's going to be the weekend news roundup. Always a great time here on the Horse Radio Network.
All right, but first we're going to start with this.
Well, my daily whinny goes to Eco Gold. They are a sponsor of another one of our shows. However, Eco Gold has just been fantastic in helping raise money for Boyd Martin Barn Fire. So they decided to give 50% of the proceeds of all saddle pad sales within a certain amount of time, I think through this past weekend, to Boyd. They raised, in sales, only half of this. $4,270.50 were raised for Boyd. So they sold over $8,000 worth of saddle pads. So all of that money goes to Boyd. They said that all that money was raised, and it's, so far it was coming from everywhere, from British Columbia, from all the way down to Florida, even from Denmark. So, you know, daily winning to Eco Gold for doing such good work, and we appreciate it. I'm sure Boyd does too.
Yes, and I saw Patricia from Eco Gold posted on her own Facebook page that if anybody is near Canada and knows how to sew, please stop by because they're way behind now on saddle pads. So
really?
They make them there. So yeah, they actually make them right there. So she they've sold a lot more than they thought they would, and she said if you want to help out, feel free. You can go join them.
Nice.
Hey, I have one too. Let me check it up. Oh, my daily whinny goes out to everybody who has helped put the Horse World Gives Back campaign together. We've had so many people helping us from all around the horse world. Hats off to you all. I can't begin to name everybody because I would miss about 100 of them. But it's tonight. We want you to join in. We especially would like our Horses in the Morning listeners. You guys are trained. You know how to participate in our show. You go on Facebook and you comment. And we really need you and want you to lead the way tonight as we do our Horse World Gives Back Radiothon. And we want you to join us at 6 p.m. Go to Horse World Gives Back, or any of our pages, actually. Go to horseworldgivesback.com, and you'll see the listen button there. It's actually the same player as our Horses in the Morning button for all of your regular listeners. And we want you to take a listen tonight, and then we also want you to lead the way by going to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and making comments. You guys do such a good job of getting the conversation going. We would love you to help us lead the way tonight and get the conversation going with all of our new listeners from around the world who will be joining us tonight. And, of course, if you can afford $5, $10, whatever you can afford to donate, we would love to have that, too, to help get the ball rolling and actually raise a little money for those that need it tonight. I have an example of one of the people that's going to be coming on our show tonight to tell a story. And if you're near your Facebook page, you can go to our Facebook page right now at Horses in the Morning. Jamie, I'm going to post this. I'm going to post this up here. It's a before and after picture, and it should be there now. So go to Facebook and see if you see it, Jamie. It's a before and after picture, and I don't think you've seen this before, of one of the guests that we're going to be interviewing tonight about the Alpha Ranch. This is in Alabama. It's the Alpha Ranch was a ranch for boys who were homeless. It's a place for them to go that they could, you know, keep on the straight and narrow. They had horses and cattle and a lot of acres and things for them to do. Do you see it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, for those who don't have it right now, let me describe. The first picture is this beautiful picturesque the pond that you go up the green grassy knoll, and there's a beautiful cabin, and there's trees surrounding the whole area. And it is just, I mean, people dream about being in a place like this. There's a little canoe by the water. It's fantastic. And then the other picture is, it's just decimated. There's just black nothingness and dead trees, and, oh, it's just heartbreaking. Even the water has been sucked out of the pond. This is so bad. Oh, that's just heartbreaking.
Isn't that amazing how the water was, it's just, there's no pond anymore. The water was sucked out of it. It was just gone. This was part of that tornado that went the 60 miles, the F5. And the F5, mm-hmm. unfortunately, hit their ranch dead on. And they're going to tell the story tonight. There's some amazing stories around this that happened that entire day. This is only, unfortunately for these people, this is only part of the story. And I got to tell you, Jamie, and you know me, everybody that listens to this show knows you're the one that cries, and then I'm okay. I'm always the one that's okay, and you're the one that cries. I don't think I'm getting through tonight without crying. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I spent an hour and a half on Friday. I was on my way to do some shopping, and I was sat in a parking lot of the shopping store talking. I happened to get three calls in a row from three people who had been through the tornadoes in the South, three girls who all lost horses. And some their houses and some their barns. One of those girls is going to join us tonight because the other two just were not ready to talk about this on the air. And it was like one of the hardest hour and a half I've ever had speaking to these girls. And, you know, the one that's coming on tonight has an incredible story, and she's going to tell her story too. So it's going to, and then we do have some people coming on too to talk about preparedness. We have, we're going to be talking about insurance. You know, things that you can do to get ready for things like this. You know, what are the right things to do? So we have some experts coming on to talk about that, too.
And that's the point, Glenn, is that this is not just a hear a sad story and cry and make a donation. What this is this is a kind of a 3 hours that we're going to sit down and we're going to hit every aspect of the whole idea of disaster preparedness, relief, what happens, what can happen, what you need to have planned. And again, this hits, if you're listening to this and you did not get hit by the tornado, this is going to be an education for you because it can happen. It can happen to anybody. This could be you sitting there telling your story about losing your horse. So we want everybody to join us and take something away from this. Take learning away from it. Take, you know, hey, I'm going to institute my own disaster plan. What happens? What are we going to do? We need to sit and talk about this because it's happening all over the country, unfortunately. And hurricane season hadn't even hit yet. So we need to keep this in mind. Everybody join us. Please sit down, you know, grab a pen and paper and write some notes down. I think it's a great idea.
All right. That's tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And don't forget that tomorrow, if you have been putting off, you know, or you're planning on buying something for your horse or your horse family over the next month, do it tomorrow. Go to horseworldgivesback.com and look at the retail day page. There are 41 retail outlets that are now participating, some you've never heard of probably, that you could check out and have some fun today playing around. Buy something tomorrow from one of them, and they'll give 5% back to the Horse World Gives Back campaign. So, as I said, if you're looking at buying anything, you need to get some fly spray or fly sheets or whatever it is that you need. You need a new pair of boots. Do it tomorrow from one of our participating retailers at horseworldgivesback.com. That we appreciate them being part of this also. So you had a weekend. Chad left you. He is now going fishing in where? Canada, right?
He's in Canada. He's in the middle of nowhere in Canada. I mean, so much so that he went to the store. He called me last night, and they went to the store to try to find an ATM machine. And they walked up to the ATM machine, and it didn't work because it wasn't plugged in. Like, I mean, and he's like, oh, is there another ATM anywhere? They're like, no. So they're kind of in the middle of nowhere. So I think it's like, what's the place called? I'll think of the name of it. But it's so small that there's really like, he said there's one restaurant in the town, and the name of the restaurant is Restaurant. So Like, you drive by, you're like, want to go to the restaurant? Okay, which one? Restaurant. So, yeah, he was gone this weekend. He left Saturday morning really early. So what is a girl to do when she's got her farm all to herself but have a party?
Have a party pillow fight.
I mean, it was great. We had so much fun. And I'm going to tell you, I kind of wanted to make it like a student appreciation kind of deal. I have so many students that come to the farm every week, teenagers and kids and adults. So I invited every single one of those students, which is about 15. And I swear to you, they all invited the neighbors and everything. We had about 25, 30 women sitting out on my patio talking about horses. Of course, what else would we talk about? So everybody pitched their tents out in my pasture and in the arena and everywhere out there. So it was like a little tent city. And we sat up on the patio, which is this big, like, it almost like a garage-sized patio. It's huge. And it goes, there's like a table on one side. So you had all the women sitting around this table, chairs crammed up, you know, elbow to elbow, all sitting there drinking wine, talking about horses. And then behind us, I had rolled out the big screen TV. Chad doesn't know this, of course. I put his big screen TV outside where we had horse movies under the stars, where all the teenagers were sitting around and some of the women sitting around, and we watched Seabiscuit and Secretariat. And so we had kind of horse movies all night and ladies drinking wine, and it was just a really good time, and everybody got to go crazy because nobody drove home, so it got a little ugly by the end of the night, I'm not going to lie, but it was way fun.
So you watched horse movies. Seabiscuit, which other one? You didn't watch Ruffian, I bet.
No. Somebody brought it, and I was like, no, get it away. I don't want to see that. We watched Seabiscuit first because this is what's shocking, Glenn, is so many of my 15 and 16-year-old students hadn't even heard of the movie Seabiscuit. Why? Because they were like 9 when it came out. Then it's PG-13. So they didn't even know about it. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that make me feel old, actually. It's a lot of things. Not just Seabiscuit.
Well, it was a really good time, and I thank everybody for coming in. You know, I kind of had one of those moments, Glenn, where I'm sitting there, and I look around, and there's 25, 30 women and girls sitting around, drinking wine, you know, watching movies, having a good time, and I kind of stood back, and I realized that, you know, I moved here knowing nobody but Chad, and I knew not a person in this world. And when you are in a military family, there's definitely like a military kind of group that you can go hang out with. But I looked around and I realized that all of these people that I met, I did not know when I moved here. And here we all are, friends, all because of one common theme, which is horses. And, you know, that bond that women have together, be it, you know, a competitive bond or a riding bond or just a group, just a large group of women that can come together for one common theme, and that's horses. And I think that's what it's all about, you know. That's why we ride. That's why we have horses. We just all get to be able to get together and just bond and talk and chat and laugh and cry, all because of one common theme, and that's horses. And that's why one of the reasons I was thinking I'm really proud to do this show is because, you know, we get to communicate that to the entire world, and that's really fun.
Geez, no crying this morning. We're going to be doing enough of that tonight, Jamie.
I wasn't crying.
My goodness. Thank you. That is true. That's why we do this show, is because we like hanging around talking about horses. It's what we do. And that doesn't apply only to women. There are a few guys, too. Look, we even have Tom, the non-horse guy, now listens every morning up there from New England. Wrote us a nice email last week. We got him converted. He's going to be buying a horse. You watch. Another 3 months, that boy is going to be owning a horse.
Yeah, but he still wasn't invited to the party because he was a man. And no men allowed. No husbands, no boys, no sons, no cousins, nothing. They're all girls.
You know, kind of, to be honest with you, none of us probably really wanted to come to that particular party. It would have been way too much femininity for us there. We understood the conversation.
I'm pretty sure that there was like an estrogen cloud over my house Saturday night.
That was, all those reported UFOs, it was actually your estrogen cloud flying over.
Exactly. But it was a good time. If anybody wants to do something like that, just let me know and I'll give you some ideas. Because we had horseshoes. Somebody brought their horseshoe game and we played horseshoes and we were laying out by the pool. It was just a really cool afternoon and I love doing horseshoe themed parties. It was way fun.
Well, sounds like you had a good time. And now I feel really bad about joking about the pillow fight. Because you had teenagers and kids there, so I take it back.
I'm pretty sure they might have had a pillow fight, but they probably were actually just fighting.
All right, this half hour is sponsored by Omega Alpha. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. You know, this weekend I actually was chatting with a friend of ours who is she practices traditional Chinese medicine. She's a doctor. And she was at a client's house and she saw these Omega Alpha containers. It was the first time she had run into Omega Alpha. And she told me, she said, Glenn, she said, those products are similar to what I make with the traditional all-natural products that I make for my clients. She was very fascinated by the Omega Alpha and very impressed. So if you know, a traditional Chinese medicine doctor is impressed by it, you probably will be too. They have dozens of different products you can choose from for all different kinds of things that your horses may be affected by. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science, and that's the key, is that they're all natural. Look for their products at retailers nationwide, or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. Our first guest is coming up here shortly on Horses in the Morning. We're going to be talking to Michelle Feldstein, who runs her own little green acres over there. Where is that, Jennifer? What state is this in? Montana?
I believe it's Montana, yes.
Yes, okay. She runs her own little green acres over there in Montana, and we're going to be talking to her about that. But there's another tie-in that, you know, Jamie, I don't know about you, and this probably was a little bit after you, is when I first met Jennifer, I was introduced to a magazine that I had never been allowed to read before because my parents were too strict, and that is Mad Magazine. Had you ever been exposed to Mad Magazine as a kid?
You weren't allowed to read Mad Magazine as a
kid? It was never in our household.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, we did read it because my brother was a subscriber to Mad Magazine. And you get the magazine, and, you know, honestly, as a girl, I didn't really get it. But I did like the page in the back where you would fold it, and it would turn into another picture. I thought that was cool. I'm like, ooh, look at this whole thing. Where's Waldo? You know, and then you fold it together and it becomes like the face of something else. So I did like that part of it, but my brother was more the Mad Magazine. It is definitely, like, I think the guys that used to read Mad Magazine now are subscribers to Maxim Magazine.
That's
just the natural progression.
And, of course, Mad Magazine was started in the 50s, and Alfred E. Newman is what everybody recognizes, the character that's in every cover that's been on Mad Magazine since then. Well, one of the guys responsible for that is the husband of the lady we're going to have on today from Deerhaven Ranch. Al, her husband, was actually the editor of Mad Magazine from the 50s through, I think it was the early 70s or 80s. He was there for like 30 years. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about that, too, because what fascinating people, you know, how cool is it? And they have this ranch let me tell you think you have an eclectic collection of animals out there in Arizona, they got you beat. They have you
beat. Somebody's got to do it. I can't have any more. Although, with Chad being gone, I was thinking about having him come home to a new animal. So any suggestions are welcome. The last time he left, I got a new chicken. So I was thinking, should I get a new chicken? Should I get the guinea pig I've always wanted? What should I do?
You know what? There's a tiny baby lap giraffe for sale in California, we found out about on Friday.
Yeah, and I'll take out a second mortgage, $50,000. It's totally worth it.
Hey, if anybody missed Friday's show, you have to go. I don't care if you listen to anything else but the last half an hour. It had to be one of the funniest half an hours we've ever had on this show. I don't know about you, but I almost my face hurt after that show. Like,
oh my gosh, it was so funny. My mom said that was the funniest thing that she's ever ever heard on our show, and the pictures were classic.
Just worth taking a listen to. Definitely take a listen to that. And what else? This week, of course, is our big news. Jennifer and I start driving out on Wednesday towards Memphis. We get our tour of Graceland on Thursday, meet all of the King's horses. And then on Friday, we will be broadcasting live from Graceland. Tune in at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Jamie's going to be part of the show, but she's going to be producing. She's taking Jennifer's job. And we'll be there in the barn at Graceland, coming to you live from outside the stalls of the King's horses there. And I'm just looking forward to this. It's so much fun.
Did I not? I mean, because you basically have not invited me to come to Graceland, and
that would be
you
correct.
Basically have told me that I can't talk during the show. Did I not pass the like security background check from Graceland or something? Did Elvis's people not want me on the radio? Is that what I'm getting?
Let me tell you, they are strict. We are not allowed to interview anybody else while on the property of Graceland, except for those people that they set up. In other words, we can't take a call. We can't do anything except talk to the people at Graceland. They are that strict. They protect Elvis's image and his brand to the max. It took, I can't tell you how many conversations it took for us to get in there and do this. We are the first ones ever to broadcast live from Graceland about the horses. There's been other shows come live from Graceland, but not about the horse side of things. So we feel pretty special and privileged that we're able to get in there and do that. And one of the guys that helped that happen was Raphael from Ivory Pal fame, and he is going to be co-hosting the show with us that day. He helped get this all set up because he knows the lady that operates the barn there for like the last 25 years, and she's going to be joining us that morning for the entire show. So she has some stories to tell him. It would be fascinating to hear the stories. I can't tell you, Jamie, how many people I have talked to over the last couple of weeks about this, who didn't realize that Elvis even had horses.
Yeah, I had no idea when you started talking about it. That I was like, why would you want to go to Elvis's place? Oh, he's got horses. Okay, that makes sense. But I had no idea either. So I got to tell you, every time you talk about this and Elvis and Graceland, I think of that song. It's like, saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue, followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and watched him walk right through. I get that song in my head every time you say Elvis and Graceland and everything. That's a Mark Coon song, by the way. I got to give him credit.
Okay, good. And I just had to pay $20 in royalties for that.
No. I didn't sing 20 seconds, okay? It was under 20 seconds.
It's pretty good, though.
Totally worth
it. Give me credit.
It was worth
but
it.
They actually have a display over here at the Kentucky Horse Park about Elvis and his horses in the museum. He used to ride almost every day he was home at Graceland when he wasn't on tour. And he had a Palomino. He rode a Palomino. And part of the deal was when he died, there had to be a Palomino on the grounds of Graceland from then on. And there has been a Palomino on the grounds from Graceland. We're going to meet that Palomino this week. So, and the other thing about...
Let me guess. That Palomino's name is Luckiest Palomino on the Face of the Earth.
He probably got peanut butter, banana, and jelly sandwiches every day.
And
wasn't
gold.
That what Elvis ate?
Gold-coated hay.
Have you ever been to Graceland? Have you ever toured it?
No, I have not.
Well, if I had known that, I would have invited you.
I'm telling you what, I'm just telling you that my dad is like as jealous as they come because he is the Elvis guy. I swear to you, my father, when I look at pictures, not that he doesn't now, but when I look at pictures of my dad back in the 70s, he looks like Elvis. I mean, the chops, the suits, the whole thing, it was like impressive. I'm like, God, he's like, yeah, everybody tried to look like Elvis back then.
Well, we're excited to see that. We want everybody to tune in. It should be a lot of fun, and it should be, you know, it'll be an interesting show, I think. We're going to try and do more of the live shows from various places. We're trying to put that together. And, you know, we want you to do that, too. You know, you can go to places around Arizona that we can't get to, and we can have you come from live. Except the problem with that is they have to get up really early to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah. It is a little bit of a problem. It's a little bit of I talk to my friends all the time. I'm like, hey, did you hear the show this morning? No. Why not? Well, because I was asleep. Thank you very much.
We're good.
We had a tough time. In the morning here.
We had a tough time when we were deciding how it went time to do the show. Remember, we talked about that before we even started it. And, you know, we couldn't go too much later in the day or it wasn't going to be morning here in the East anymore. So we couldn't do it at 9 o'clock your time because it would have been noon here.
That's perfect. Lunch hour. It's horses at lunch. I vote for that.
You've been doing pretty well. It gives you, you're done this show by what time in the morning are you done this show?
7:30, but you have to realize that it's now getting so hot here that the only time you can really ride without a covered arena, which clearly I don't have, is about 5:30 to 6:30, 7:30 max, because it starts to get so hot. So, yeah, my riding time, I rode my horse Jet at 7:30 last night as it was starting to get dark. So you got to do what you got to do, I guess, you know?
Yes, I mean, I appreciate you, by the way, giving up your riding time to come on and chat with me every morning. I do appreciate it.
I wouldn't say I was giving it up. I'm just going to have to figure it out some other way. But, hey, I wanted to tell you, Glenn, that my mom, speaking, since we're having talked about my parents morning,
did you know she emailed me and has been telling me secrets about you?
Well, she said she emailed you because, and we'll get to the secret part here in a second, that bless her heart. I love her to pieces. She's listening right now. And she actually has had, like, the hardest time figuring out this whole technology thing. And, you know, she called me, I can't get this show on. I can't do this. Well, she finally got it figured out. She has now created a Facebook page. And she is now a fan of Horses in the Morning. So my mother said to me, I keep writing Glenn messages, and he never writes back to me. I keep sending him on Facebook, and he keeps never writes back to me. I need you to talk to him and tell him to write me back. I've got a question.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
Well, so
I'm in trouble again? She called and yelled at me last week.
I know. And she was really mad at you until she realized I looked at her Facebook page, and she was posting messages to you on her page. So you click on my mom's page, and it's like, hey, Glenn, I was asking about your cat. Hey, Glenn, what about this? Hey, Glenn, what about this? I'm like, Mom, he doesn't see those unless he goes to your page. You have to send him. Bless her little heart. She's just, like, so confused why you were ignoring her. So I gave her your email address, and now she's emailing you. Get ready, because the barrage of emails will just... You just get ready. Strap in.
Actually, it was helpful last week. There was one of the shows had an issue on it on our website, and I was able to fix it. She gave me the heads up on it, was able to fix it. But I did write and reassure her after our conversation with your mom last week. I did want to reassure her that I actually do like you. We like working together in the morning. I like talking to Jack. We may pick on each other, but we actually do like each other. It's all in good fun,
yeah.
Mom. All in good fun.
It's like, you know, she's heard me argue with my brother. She knows how it goes. She's not worried.
Well, let's get to our first guest. I'm very excited about this. We have, now the name of the ranch is called Deer Haven Ranch. And it's actually a guest house, which looks absolutely beautiful, by the way, Jamie. We're going to have to go up there and record our show someday in Montana. And, let's let them tell the story. We have Michelle and Al on here. And Feldstein, and they are from, I believe it's Montana, and they're going to tell their story about how they came to get this ranch and what they're doing there with all of these critters. It's like the Green Acres of Montana. I don't know. We'll ask if they have the pig. I'm not sure they have the pig that used to run around Green Acres, but we're going to find out. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I'm very excited to have you on. And Al, you're not going to get off the hook. We're going to talk about Mad Magazine before this is all done, because I grew up in the Mad Magazine era. So
yeah, we're going to have anything to do with horses.
No, it doesn't, but we don't care. It's fun.
Okay.
And that's what it, and we're all about fun here. But let's talk, Michelle. You guys live, I assume, seeing that you were the editor of Mad Magazine, you guys lived in New York City then.
We lived in Connecticut.
Okay, so you were just outside of the city.
Yeah.
Did you have animals of any kind while you were living up there?
One dog, one cat.
Okay, so Al retires from Mad Magazine, and you guys, what the heck, how did you end up in Montana? That's a long way from Connecticut.
I took him skiing in Jackson Hole. We bought a house. We lived in Jackson for 3 years, decided it wasn't the lifestyle we were really looking for, and we moved to Montana.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Jackson Hole is one of, it is so beautiful there. It's just such an amazing place. So you must have moved to an even more amazing place. Where in Montana are you guys?
We are 38 miles from Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
It is.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, did you buy a farm when you moved out? You know, initially you said 3 years, that those first 3 years, I assume it was not a farm.
No.
Okay.
No, that all started when we got to Montana.
Okay. So, all right. So you buy a farm now.
Yes.
And then what happened? Then your collection started.
It took about 2 years. We started out with 3 horses. There are now over 70.
Okay.
They're all rescue. We only take in that which nobody else wants. And there are actually over 200 animals on the ranch now.
Oh, wow. So tell us about the animals. Is there a pig like on Green Acres?
Oh, no pig.
Okay.
Not
right.
yet. Nobody's asked me to take one.
There will be.
Oh,
someday.
Yeah, I'm sure, because there was a time when I said I'll never take sheep, and then I said I'll never take goats. I've learned not to say never.
So what do you have on the farm there? What, we got sheep, we got goats, what else?
Okay, we have sheep, goats, sheep, goats, alpacas, llamas, chickens, rescue ducks. Then, of course, there's the horses. There are miniature horses, miniature donkeys, regular donkeys. There's a half zebra.
Don't forget the 3 poodles.
Yes. We have 3 poodles registered, rescued from Hurricane Katrina, and then we have about 30 to 35 cats.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Michelle, that's a lot of food you feed every day. That's a lot of
food. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many
My husband loves me. He pays the feed bills and the vet bills.
Al, you're a good guy. You are the ultimate horse husband, Al.
Yeah, that's true.
This is where all of your Mad Magazine money has gone.
Now, Al, did you ever think that you would end up, when you retired from Mad, you were probably thinking, oh, we're going to have this quiet little life, and now you have 200 animals in your backyard. Did you ever think that was going to happen when you retired from Mad?
Well, you know, when I retired, I decided that I wanted to go back to my painting. And so while I'm painting in the studio, Michelle is shoveling the manure and taking care of the entire place practically all by herself. We get a little help from friends once in a while. But otherwise, she's really fantastic about caring for the animals that she rescues.
Well, I'll tell you what, I checked out your paintings. I went to your website, and you have a website just for your paintings. And let me tell you, you do some nice work, and of course, you have beautiful countryside out there to pull from, don't you?
Yes, that's right. I was very impressed when we moved first to Jackson Hole, and I was painting the Tetons and the wildlife that surrounded us, and now I'm on a 270-acre ranch with all those animals, and we're in the valley between the Absaroka Beartooth and the Bridger mountain range.
It sounds absolutely beautiful, and I looked at some of the pictures there, too. It looks absolutely beautiful. Now, what Okay, Michelle.
You ought to tell your listeners how to see it.
Well, yeah, and your website, by the way, we'll give that out right now, is deerhavenranch.net. And, of course, people can go and stay. You have a guest house there that they can rent and hang out there with the 200 animals. Michelle,
then you could look it up, my paintings on my website.
And what's that? I don't have that right here.
That's Al Feldstein, one word, alfeldstein.com.
Okay, good. You know, I could see a whole lot of Mad Magazine issues just about your life on the ranch, couldn't you?
You are kidding.
Were you responsible for Alfred? You were there at the time Alfred came into being, right?
Well, I decided to adopt this face that had been around for years, and I put an ad in the New York Times. National Magazine wants a portrait artist for special project, and a little old man walked in. He was a little at old when I was young, and he walked into the office and he said, "What magazine is this?" And I said, "Mad." And he said, "Goodbye." And I said, "Wait, let me show you what I want done." And I showed him all of these crude various variations on Alfred's face that was around for years. The Me Worry Kid and the Old Philosopher and I asked him to paint this portrait of this grinning child that had real, you know, kind of wise eyes and knew what was going on in the world and didn't care and would laugh it off. And it was pretty rough time, too, that time. Not as bad as today, but still rough.
Well, and it became
rough?
Yeah, why was it rough?
Oh, well, this was the Cold War. This was the late 50s. This is when the, right after, I was also a comic book artist before Mad. I created Tales from the Crypt for the line of comics. And Mad was one of our comics.
Wow. And of course, William Gaines was the publisher of that right since the beginning in 52, right?
That's right. He was a great guy. He really was, especially when he took, when he gave me Mad to edit. After we had been put out of business by the panic of the comic book industry was going through when everything was being blamed on them and us for all the ills of the world and especially for juvenile delinquency, et cetera. You know, they were looking for a scapegoat. Every time the kids were being told to duck under their desks when they hear the siren and they'll be fine.
Yeah, and right, exactly.
Kids were saying, well, I don't think that's right. They were rebelling, and that's what I think was the real cause of that particular time of juvenile delinquency, et cetera. But let's talk more about our ranch now today. I mean, I haven't been the editor of Mad for over 25 years. I feel so far away from it.
Well, we do want to thank you, though, because, you know, Alfred E. Newman has become one of the iconic faces of the world, you know. And,
oh, yes.
You know,
well,
you were there.
In the years that I was the editor of Mad, I took it from I took it over from another editor, Harvey Kirkson. It was selling about 350,000 quarterly. And I took it to eight times a year and almost 3 million copies sold on the newsstands. So it got quite popular.
Wow. I'm going to tell you that, first of all, that's fascinating. I'm looking at your paintings right now, and holy moly, these are amazing. This is amazing. You're so talented. I'm kind of touched by the Daddy's Future Rodeo Queen, the guy, cowboy taking his little daughter on the back of a horse.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've enjoyed capturing this disappearing scene here in the West because it really is disappearing quickly. And when I first came up here to Montana and we had the ranch, I decided to try and capture the the cowboys and the ranching style and branding and all of that. And the only thing I learned was that cowboys and ranchers don't have any money to buy paintings.
Yeah,
Michelle, about the ranch. I mean, that's really what you guys are interested in, and she has done a fantastic job assembling this menagerie we have here. It's absolutely fascinating.
I'm really impressed, Michelle, because I want to go back to what you said about, or what Al said, but you do all the work on the ranch with all those animals?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good luck. What time do you get up?
I don't work and play well with others.
Oh.
Not me.
Well, some people have
been. Does that include Al?
No. He's about the only. He and my daughter and her family. I can do okay with them.
Okay.
Now, what time do you get up in the morning to start taking? I have 5 horses in my backyard, and I feel like they keep me busy all day long. And you have 70 horses, much less all the other animals that you have saved. How do you do that?
You just develop a pattern, and you do it. You know, I get up about 8, and I start the chores. I turn them out. You develop a pattern. Well, you know, from having horses, you develop a pattern that you go through, and I think of it as easy.
Well, I think you're absolutely amazing, and what you guys are doing there at the ranch is amazing. Now, you talk about all these rescues that nobody wanted. You say, and the quote from you said, "I only take animals that others consider throwaways," and I feel like that is so, unfortunately, so true in our society today, and probably all throughout history. And so what are some of the special animals that you guys have on your ranch, and how did you come to acquire some of them?
2 of our horses are blind, and they have companions that act as their eyes. One horse has a retired racehorse for her eyes. Then there's Sissy, who has goats and sheep that take care of her, show her where the food is, stand between her and the fence. And then we have a 3rd blind horse coming in about the 9th of June. And his owner she's a young lady in the military. And this is a horse she's ridden her entire life. And when she saw the last article about Sissy, she deploys for Afghanistan soon. And she needs a place for her beloved companion.
And we'll be arriving. I think she's cracking up a little bit there.
We're breaking up a little bit, but I got to tell you, I think there's a special place, you know, up in heaven for people do the things that you guys do. You know, you got a front row seat. To take a woman's horse and provide it a home when she's going to Afghanistan is just, that's as good as it gets in my opinion. And I do, you know, bless you guys for doing that kind of stuff. Now, you said you have a horse named Sissy, and the goats and the sheep guide her around?
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. How did that happen? Did they just pick up on it and take care of her, or did they how did that happen?
You know, we don't have a lot of history on an animal when it comes to Deerhaven, and my policy is that when they come through the front gate, their life starts over. So we really don't know how she bonded. She came with the sheep and the goats. And 4 of the goats have left her to go join the real goat herd. But she has 1 goat named Jack that has stayed by her side, and then she has the 5 sheep.
Wow.
And they do. Cool. It's fascinating to watch.
So they just lead her around.
She'll run, she'll buck, she'll kick. And this little goat just stays right with her.
Aww.
That's sweet.
It's amazing to me that these animals are so, I don't know how to describe it. They are so interested in each other. They communicate. They grieve when one of them passes the Rainbow Bridge.
Oops, I don't know what that happened there. Did we lose them?
That was us. We switched phones.
Okay. So
we're using one phone between us, and we thought we'd try two, but it didn't work.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. Anyway, it is amazing the communication and the unbelievable humanness of these animals, really, when you get to know them and let them, behave the way they want to behave, and they're all free to live their lives the way they want to here once they come here. So it's really amazing.
Well, we really thank you guys for providing a home for those that would have no home otherwise, and for taking in a woman deploying. I'm sure that she's deploying a lot more comfortably now, knowing that you guys are going to be taking care of her horse. And we just bless y'all's heart. So the website, again, where people can find you is deerhavenranch.net. And if you want to check out Al's painting, is its name, alfeldstein.com. We'll post that on our Facebook page. You guys can look at these amazing, beautiful paintings that he has done as well. And we wish you guys the best of luck, and thank you so much for being on our show, and good luck in the future, and keep in touch.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Al.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I want to go there and do the show sometime. We can get some of the goats and sheep on the show. Sounds like they all have personalities. So
I
want to
go there, Vicky. I want to go vacation there.
And you know what's near there? Fishing. I read that on their website. There's a lot of fishing there. So you might even be able to convince your husband to go.
You know what? My husband might never fish again by the time he gets back. I talked to him yesterday. He said he fished for 10 hours. All the guys fished for 10 hours, and one person caught one fish. 10 hours!
I know what they weren't having for dinner last night.
Yeah, because I asked him, I said, now, are they going to, like, ship the fish back that you catch? And he just started laughing. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of shipments coming in, I'm sure. Just wait for it.
That's funny. All right. Well, the song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, worming, farriers, and dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can also track the weight of your horse and get reminders of important events, like when that next farrier visit is due. You can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone, or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. And somebody posted on our Facebook page, I'm looking down now through it to find it here. It was a new listener, too, and I wanted to give her a shout-out, but we have so many people that posted our Facebook page. Robin Celeste. She said, I'm a recent new listener, and Jamie, I do listen on a classy MP3 player. You busted my chop last week about that. I could use my Android phone, but I haven't met a lot of smartphones that have a battery life for listening. That is true. And she says, when are they going to make this application for a Android? And I do know that they're working on it. So hopefully we'll have an announcement about that soon, and we'll be able to get we have Android phones too, Robin. So I hope that we do get that very soon. And thank you for listening. We really appreciate you being a new listener. Thank you so much. And today's song, I thought, you know, in light of what the day's been all about for us and what we have coming up later, I asked Templeton, you know, what song should we play today on the show? That's Templeton Thompson, our friend. And she said, you know, she said, there's a song I think that fits for today and what you guys are getting ready to do tonight. And she said it's called Happy House. So I'm going to play a Templeton Thompson song called Happy House. And we're going to be right back with the Weekend Roundup. And the reading of Black Beauty, whether we want it or not. I mean, yes, and the reading of Black Beauty coming up.
Our happy house by the riverside, where the cottonwoods grow and the bluebirds fly. There's a rusty old nail holding up a welcome sign. Coffee's on, come on by. Our happy house, just six sandstone. It's a real good place to take it slow. Just kick on back, and before you know, you'll find yourself right at home. A happy house built on love, filled with dreams, and that's the stuff. Our happy house got three good dogs, and a scratch on the head is all they want. There's a lesson there, take it all in stride. Life is good, joy and pride. Our happy house is built on love, filled with dreams, and that's the stuff. And every day I'm more amazed how everything just falls into place. Our happy house by the riverside, where the cottonwoods and the bluebirds
Templeton Thompson, templetonthompson.com. What a pretty song. I really like it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. So thanks so much for being a sponsor. Glenn!
Yes?
Do you know what time it is?
Lunch!
No, it's not lunchtime. It is time once again for the reading of, you know, come on, play the music.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 4, Birtwick Park. At this time, I used to stand in the stable, and my coat was brushed every day till it shone like a rook's wing. It was early in May when there came a man from Squire Gordon's who took me away to the hall. My master said, "Goodbye, darkie. Be a good horse and always do your best." I could not say goodbye, so I put my nose into his hand. He patted me kindly, and I left my first home. As I lived some years with Squire Gordon, I may as well tell you something about the place. There was accommodation for many horses and carriages, but I need only describe the stable into which I was taken. This was very roomy, with four good stalls. A large swinging window opened into the yard, which made it pleasant and airy. The first stall was a large one, shut in behind with a wooden gate. The others were common stalls, good stalls, but not nearly so large, and it had a low rack for hay and a low manger for corn. It was called a loose box because the horse that was put in it was not tied up, but left loose to do as he liked. It's a great thing to have a loose box. Into this fine box the groom put me. It was clean, sweet, and airy. I was never in a better box than that, and the sides were not so high, but that I could see all that went on through the iron rails that were at the top. He gave me some very nice oats. He patted me, spoke kindly, and then went away. When I had eaten my corn, I looked around. In the stall next to mine stood a fat little gray pony with a thick mane and tail, a very pretty head, and a pert little nose. I put my head up to the iron rails at the top of my box and said, "How do you do? What is your name?" He turned round as far as his halter would allow, held up his head, and said, "My name is Merrylegs. I am very handsome. I carry the young ladies on my back, and sometimes I take our mistress out in the low chair. They think a great deal of me, and so does James. Are you going to live next door to me in that box?" I said yes. "Well, then," he said, "I hope you are good-tempered. I do not like anyone next door who bites." Just then, a horse's head looked over from the stall beyond. The ears were laid back, and the eye looked rather ill-tempered. This was a tall chestnut mare with a long, handsome neck. She looked across to me and said, "So it is you who have turned me out of my box. It is a very strange thing for a colt like you to come and turn a lady out of her own home." "I beg your pardon," I said. "I have turned no one out. The man who brought me put me here, and I had nothing to do with it. And as to me being a colt, I am turned 4 years old, and I am a grown-up horse. I've never had words yet with a horse or mare, and it is my wish to live at peace." "Well," she said, "we shall see. Of course, I do not want to have words with a young thing like you." I said no more. In the afternoon when she went out, Merrylegs told me about it. "The thing is," said Merrylegs, "Ginger has had a bad habit of biting and snapping. That is why they call her Ginger, and when she was in the loose box, she used to snap very much. One day she bit James in the arm and made it bleed, so Miss Flora and Miss Jessie, who were very fond of me, were afraid to come into the stable. They used to bring me nice things to eat, an apple or a carrot or a piece of bread, but after Ginger stood in that box, they dare not come, and I miss them very much. I hope they will now come again if you do not bite or snap." I told him I never bit anything but grass, hay, and corn, and could not think of what pleasure Ginger found in it. "Well, I don't think she does find pleasure," said Merrylegs. "It is just a bad habit. She says no one was ever kind to her, and why should she not bite? Of course, it is a very bad habit, but I am sure, if all says be true, then she must have been very ill-used before she came here. John does all he can to please her, and James does all he can, and our master never uses a whip if a horse acts right, so I think she might be good-tempered here, you see." He said with a great wise look, "I am 12 years old. I know a great deal, and I can tell you there is not a better place for a horse all around the country than this. John is the best groom that there ever was. He has been here 14 years, and you never saw such a kind boy as James is. So it's all Ginger's own fault that she did not stay in that box." And that's the end of Chapter 4. Tomorrow, Chapter 5, A Fair Start. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Okay, the applause totally makes me smile.
So, everybody named Ginger bites and is unruly? Is that what I get out of that chapter?
What you got out of that chapter is that Ginger has been ill-used in a previous home, but she is now at a kind place and they're hoping they can rehabilitate.
But they said in the chapter that Ginger, the reason she got the name Ginger was because she bites, and I couldn't quite put those two together unless Ginger's bite.
Ginger snaps. The cooking, I think that's what it's from. Ginger snaps.
There's, I don't think they had ginger snaps in the late 1800s, did they?
I think so. I think so. But ginger is a, you know.
Hey, when's Mr. Ed come into the book?
How dare you disrespect the Black Beauty? It's time for the weekend roundup, Glenn.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Jamie, I am heartbroken that Selena Gomez has given in to pressure from Pink and others not to use the pink horses in her video. Remember a couple weeks ago we had this story where she, you know, they just painted some horses pink and they were going to use them in the video, and PETA and everybody else got all out up in arms because it was going to kill the horses. I got news for you. Every pony clubber in the world paints their horses at one point or another. You just use water-soluble paint. It's like vegetable paint. Well, yeah. She gave in. She apparently got so much pressure. This was such a thing that they aren't going to use the pink horses in the video now.
Oh, no, we're not going to. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll give you a dollar if you ever get me to watch any Selena Gomez video. So it's not going to ruin my day, okay?
I thought you'd be upset if they weren't going to do that. But did you see the big story? This week, we've been covering this one for quite a while about Ruby. Do you remember we had the story of the old guy tried to take a little white pony on the train in England, and then he tried to take it to the hospital to get it fixed, and we were trying to give the old guy, Joe Purcell, the benefit of the doubt? Not so much. The RSPCA has taken Ruby away from Joe.
Unbelievable. So, well, and you got to say why, because I think it's pretty well-founded.
Yeah, it is. Apparently, he would go play. I think Joe's not all there anymore. He would go places at night, and he would tie the pony out in the street or out in the road. And there were many calls about him just leaving the pony wandering in the middle of the road. He would just forget about it, or he'd tie it, not tie it, or could not be did loose. So I don't know if he didn't have a place to live anymore or what, but finally the RSPCA has taken Ruby to a better home where he can actually be turned out on some grass and not be drugged all over through the city anymore. So that's what happened.
It said they left it in a cemetery. I mean, he left it all night grazing in a cemetery, which is, I mean, come on, not only bizarre, but also very disrespectful. So,
well, the other place they left it was the hospital helipad. Probably caused a little bit of trouble if the helicopter was trying to land.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I think we have to give Joe a little bit for probably not being all there anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's probably for the best that Joe, the pony was removed, and hopefully, because apparently she's in full, too. So, God, that's another problem.
At least he didn't paint it pink. So we have that.
Yeah, it's definitely not painted. It's just on the subway and in a helicopter pad. My story is one that really made me laugh out loud. Samantha Clark was at May Days this past weekend.
Oh, no.
If you look on your Facebook page, Glenn was spotted competing at the horse trials at the Kentucky Horse Park over the weekend. Look at this. This is your twin. I'm not kidding you. So Samantha saw this posted. You can go to SamanthaClark.com. That's her website. And she did a story about May Days and some of the horse trials that were going on, some of the horses competing, and took some pictures. And then she typed in, "My favorite 2010 radio show co-host, ha-ha, the Horse Radio Network's Glenn the Geek, does an event. He likes carriage driving. I think I might have spotted his identical twin today at May Days, unless Glenn is hatching another one of his diabolical schemes." Bizarre that this guy, I mean, he kind of looks like
I don't
him.
Think
he
looks
he
that
the helmet
much like
on.
Me.
The helmet and the chin strap, he's got the same beard. He's kind of got a wrinkled up like expression on his face, like, who are you and why are you taking a picture of me? but I posted it on the Facebook page so you can see it right now. It's fantastic. I saw that. I had to laugh. It was great.
Yeah, thanks for that, Samantha. I appreciate that. I think I'm better looking personally, but that's just me. You know how people say, oh, I just saw your twin today, and then you look at him and you don't think you look anything like that person? You never think you look like the people that people think are your twins, you know?
Well, I tend to disagree because I loved my grandmother more than anything, and she would tell me all the time that I looked just like Julia Roberts. She's like, I saw a movie with you in it. Plus her, she was, you know, she was in her 90s, and she would say, that my granddaughter Jamie's in a movie. And it was riding horses. She swore I looked just like Julia Roberts, so by God, I'm going to go with that. I look just like Julia Roberts.
You know what? I'm looking at some pictures of Julia Roberts when she was about your age, and you do kind of look alike.
Oh, yeah, except for she's 20 pounds lighter and a foot taller. She has prettier teeth,
well, there's
better hair,
things.
Better skin.
But that's you have nice so try. Much in common. I mean, hey, I want to remind everybody, too, that this Saturday is International Helmet Awareness Day. You can get helmets at a discount at almost every retailer in the United States. And I know that our sponsors here, Bit of Britain and Equestrian Collections, have them, too. So if you need a new helmet, if your helmet's over 5 years old, if you've fallen on your helmet and used it for what it was intended for, then it's time to replace it. Go to ridersforhelmets.com, and they have a list of all of the participating dealers. That's this Saturday. We'll be in Memphis, and probably there are even stores in Memphis that will be carrying it as well. And speaking of that, I want to give a thank you to Susan Nelson. She has been texting me and writing me all about the various things to do and the fun things to do in Memphis. She lives there. So thank you, Susan. Maybe before Wednesday, we'll get you on the show and we can talk about it here on the show. Your turn.
Yeah. My turn. I'm sorry, I was looking at our Facebook page. You know, I'm not going to lie, Glenn. When I'm reading Black Beauty, I'm thinking to myself that, you know, because I think you've beat me down so much, you and Jennifer have just whipped me to pieces over this whole Black Beauty thing, that I'm thinking that nobody is enjoying this and that everybody's bored to death when I'm reading it, except for me. I'm not bored. I think it's awesome. And Jackie Baker just posted, yay, Merrylegs. She's my favorite Black Beauty character by far. I always want a pony to name Merrylegs. Me too. I've always wanted a pony to name Merrylegs. But I just want to appreciate the fact that Sandy also liked that post. So somebody out there likes me reading Black Beauty besides my mother. And I really appreciate that.
Do you think that Mad Magazine ever did a satire of Black Beauty?
No, because there's nothing to make fun of because it's the greatest piece of literature that is in the world. Okay, so get on.
You know, I know somebody. I know somebody that still works at Mad Magazine. I'm going to have to see if maybe we could get him to do a satire of Black Beauty. That'd be funny.
Yeah, not so much. Hey, speaking of satire and everybody yelling at me, I was looking at Eventing Nation. Obviously, I found the picture of you, but I was looking at Eventing Nation, and, you know, they do this post where they put different links and kind of different news stories. And Eventing Nation John posted, I was going to link to a Belmont story, but nobody cares because there isn't a horse in the Triple Crown Hunt. So he posts that on his page, and I commented.
Joe
I was
John.
Like, excuse me. We do care. Animal Kingdom is there. The news story that I read is Animal Kingdom arrived at Belmont Park approximately 7:30 a.m. yesterday morning to prepare for the $1 million Belmont Stakes. First of all, it's a race worth $1 million. Animal Kingdom is going to be there. Shackleford, the winner of the Preakness, is going to be there. It's going to be a rematch. And by the way, our boy Mucho Macho Man posted the fastest work that any horse has posted over a 5-furlong distance. And he posted it yesterday, 59.57. With his new jockey, Ramon Dominguez, aboard. And that is the fastest 5-furlong work by any of the horses that are in the Belmont so far. So Kathy Rebo, the trainer, said he went very good. And they're very pleased, and it was clogged the fastest of all 15 horses at that distance. So I'm pulling for Mucho Macho Man. It's just going to be a different winner for every race, and if not, it's going to be interesting to see the Shackleford Animal Kingdom matchup and shit down. So I think it's interesting. I care. Thank you very much, Glenn, and Eventing Nation John. Suck it. Go ahead.
And now all we have to do is keep his shoes on. I say that every time. Hey, speaking of racehorses, your favorite, Zenyatta, they are having a benefit for the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope at Keeneland Racetrack on June the 18th. This is a fundraiser for them, and this is what you can win. They're calling it the Zenyatta Package, which will be scheduled on a mutually agreed-upon date. Also includes a photo opportunity with Zenyatta for you and 8 of your friends to go visit Zenyatta at the farm. The old pregnant girl.
Okay, so 8 friends. You and 8 friends is 9 people. If we could bid, we could split it up. However, I got to tell you a story that I did hear about bidding to come and meet Zenyatta. Apparently there was an auction where you could go and meet Zenyatta. It was called The Day with Zenyatta, and you got to go and meet her, and you got to get your photo taken. You got lunch on the farm, Lane's End, and it was this amazing thing. However, apparently one woman called the farm and said, I'm sending you a check, and I want you to bid $500 over the highest bid. I don't care what it is. I will be winning that. $500 over the high stakes. Do you know what the Day with Zenyatta went for? This woman paid $21,000 to go out. And I have goosebumps. $21,000 to go out and meet Zenyatta.
Not even you would pay $21,000.
How could I? $21,000. So can you imagine what 9 people can come up with? Okay, that also goes to show you that somebody else bid $20,500 to go. And it was like, oh, I can't do 21. I can do 25, but I can't do $21,000. So that is good. This is going to be a fantastic event for Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, because they're going to make so much cash.
Well, let's hope, I hope somebody bid $21,000 for this. They need the money. They're a good organization. It's a therapeutic riding organization that's over here at the horse park. So let's hope somebody does. You know what else they have? They have a silent auction item, a halter worn by Zenyatta. They also have one worn by Blaine and Zenyatta's hubby, Bernardini. So there you go. Halters.
I'll give $250 for the Zenyatta halter. So if you could place that bid for me, that would be fantastic. Who do I call?
All right. Yeah. Can you pay the $100? Actually, $200 for Jennifer to get and I to get in, because it's $100 a ticket to go.
What? It is? Oh, man. Yeah, I can't afford that. I can only afford the halter.
All right, so that's coming up.
Time out. I got to give information for anybody who wants to be a part of this. It says right here, those not attending the fundraiser can also bid on the Zenyatta package by submitting their bid and their credit card information via email or phone to Vicki Parker. And her email address is Vicki, V-I-C-K-I-E, at ckrh.org. That's Central Kentucky Riding Hope.org. So if you need that information again and you would like to go in on a Zenyatta package with me, let me know. Jennifer, you have some information about the halter. Is that true?
Well, the last I checked, now this might not be the same halter. I think it's the same halter that I saw the bidding on at High Hope. It was, at $400.
I'll do $425. I'm going to get divorced.
I will submit that bid on your behalf.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
oh,
I do want to say...
Yeah, you know, like,
she's kidding. One other thing I do want to say, do not send your credit card information by email, ever. Caller.
No.
Do not ever send your credit card information by email. Very bad idea. If you want to lose your credit card and have people buying strange adult sex toys on it, send it by. Feel free and send it by email to somebody. No, but it will happen to you if you do it. Send it.
It's not mine. I swear. Jennifer's like, whatever.
Cusack is on his way back to Kansas. Do you remember the horse we talked about a while back that was born in New Zealand, was a racehorse down there, and was going to end up going to the meat auction? And then our friends over at Horse Talk down there in New Zealand got involved with it, and they actually got all of their readers from around the world to donate money so they could save this horse that it would end up in a farm in Kansas. It's at the farm in Kansas this morning. So Cusack has made his way back to this farm in Kansas where he's going to retire and be happy eating grass all day long and dodging tornadoes right out there in Kansas. So he's a happy camper. He will not be going to the meat auction thanks to some very, very generous people from around the world working with the Robin down there at Horse Talk in New Zealand. So it just goes to show the power of new media, how she was able to get that done.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for them. It's a good day for horses everywhere because, you know, Madeline Pickens, who is the wife of the oil billionaire T. Boone Pickens, she bought that big sanctuary called Mustang Monument. Hundreds of acres. And she bought it so she could get Mustangs and turn them out on her property. So wild horses. Well, the first wild horses arrived in the sanctuary this past weekend. The first truckload of Paiute mares and foals, which is the different locations where the Mustangs live, they name after different tribes. Well, all these Mustangs have arrived, mares and foals arrived on the ranch. She says that during the unloading process, there's a huge windstorm. The dust started to settle. The mares and foals were unloaded, and hundreds of acres was theirs for the taking. And they saw the gates open. They each were looking around, and very gently, the lead mare floated forward with her mane and tail flowing in the wind. Each of the horses happily followed her lead, and they're all now at their forever home. So, yay for Madeline Pickens and her eco preserve in Nevada. God, she's so
good
cool.
For her.
I'm trying to get her on our show so bad. I keep stalking her, but no luck yet.
You keep trying. All right, everybody, that's about it. We have a big 3-hour event to get ready for tonight. You're going to be able to hear Jamie and I again tonight. I just want to point out Terry McLam posted on our Facebook page at the before and after pictures from the Alpha Ranch. By the way, if you haven't seen those, go to our Facebook page and scroll down. He says, unreal devastation. The closest damage to us here in Alabama was about 30 miles away. But I have seen insane things like flattened trucks and horse trailers hanging in trees that were still standing. I know more than a dozen horses that were lost in my area alone. We went through the 2004 hurricanes in Florida as well, and the devastation from that was the worst. That storm changed the course of our life personally, and what we were doing with horses never will be the same. Hugs to all of those that lost in this storm. So thank you to Terry for posting that. That's why we're doing what we're doing tonight. I'm seeing posts now from all over the Internet. People truly are coming together, and that's what we were hoping would happen. And we really are, I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to say it again, we're really relying on our listeners of Horses in the Morning to lead the way tonight. Go to the Facebook page at Horse World Gives Back. Start comments, start conversation, get a conversation going there. Be the ones to lead the way tonight, and we would really appreciate that. We know we have some terrific, loyal fans here on Horses in the Morning, and we do appreciate you. We're going to be back 6 o'clock tonight, horseworldgivesback.com. You can find also, go to Horses in the Morning and find the link there. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. It's been fun. The reading wasn't even that bad. Who is it that keeps, is Tom that's keeping track of all the death and carnage in Black Beauty?
Yeah, he says he's doing a body count. So
there were no bodies today, so you're okay, nope, Tom. You don't have to add anything to the collection on Black Beauty today, but I do want you to make a note when Mr. Ed comes into the picture later on in the story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll be there. We got talking horses. How can you add Mr. Ed?
You're rambling, Glenn. End the show.
Goodbye, everybody.
Love you guys. Bye.
I don't have the button. Wait a minute. Here's the button. Oh, I can't find it. Say something else. I can't find the music. It's like not here. Oh, there it is. Bye, everybody. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.